to live in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, amen. Good morning, my people. Good morning, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
You'll excuse my voice, but I just want to share a quick word before I hand over to the next person taking over. For those of you who were there yesterday, we talked about the presence of God. And, you know, we cannot live this Christian life if we do not understand what the presence of God means. So many times we seek to find or to make ways to make life easy. But in the long run, I mean, as much as we think that we are making this life easy for us, in the long run, it is not. Because God is a plan of order, a God of order, as we learned yesterday. And he has plans in our lives. And he would like us to walk in those ways. But men, we have our own plans as well. So it is my prayer that as we come to this altar every morning, we put aside all our desires, we put aside our plans, and let God take over. But we cannot have God in our hearts if we do not have a prayer life. You know, reading, anyone can read, even unbelievers read the word. You can have a debate with someone who doesn't even believe in God, and they will tell you they've read the Bible. They will quote things back to you and say, this is what the word says. So we cannot just live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And in order for us to live by that word which proceeds from the mouth of God, we do not only have to read it, we need to meditate upon it, we need to walk in that word, but we also need to speak to God, to pray to God. And I just call prayer a way of declaring, repeating to God what he has already said. Because there is nothing new under the sun, there is nothing new to God. So when we are repeating to God, it is an affirmation that we are standing in the word. It is an affirmation that we are believing in what he has already said. And as Minister Rachel always says, we need to have a secret place. In order to build a prayer life, we need to have a secret place. Yes, some of us have this altar. Some of us have our secret places in our house or in the church. But the word of God says that we should pray without ceasing. And so how do we pray without ceasing? We cannot just come to the altar between 5 and 7, but we need to pray that in everything that we do throughout the day, we continue to declare that word of God. And so my quick word that I'm sharing this morning is really, how do we build that prayer life? How do we ensure we have a secret place? And believe you, it is in me, it's not how many prayers you do. It is not how long you spend in prayer, but we thank God that we are able to take 2 hours each morning to be in the presence of God. I mean, that is a blessing, because I can testify many years ago, I could only say a prayer for less than a minute. I could only recite the prayers that I was taught as a child. So I give God the glory that I am able to come to him and speak to him, declare what he has already said to me. That is a blessing in itself. But it is not the length of prayer. It is not how many prayers you say. It is the passion behind the prayers which you are praying to God. God is a God who doesn't look on the outside. He does not delight on the outside like what we look at as children of, you know, as flesh. We like how a person is dressed. We like how a person is looking. But God is a God who looks inside the heart. So when you come to that secret place, when you come to speak to the Lord, He wants to see how much passion you have in what you are speaking to Him. And so, my fellow people, it is very important that we have a secret place where we come and we speak to God, a secret place. And I'm just going to share just briefly just two stories. I will paraphrase mainly just so we can get the concept, and then I will go into the verse itself. We have the story of Rahab. Forgive me if I don't pronounce the names properly. We have the story of Rahab, and the verse I mainly want to touch on is Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. And it says, "And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." Hallelujah. Here we see that because of what Rahab did, somebody would have judged Rahab by what she did, by her profession. But because of what she did, and because she did it with passion, because she did it from the bottom of her heart, we see that she is saved. Her life is transformed, and out of her seed comes the son of Israel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, think of what you are speaking to the Lord. Think of what you are doing. Are you doing it from the bottom of your heart? Are you hiding a seed which is waiting to just flourish? Rahab is a very good example here. It says she was spared, you know, the mercies of God, she was spared. And to this day, it says, so she dwells in Israel to this day. Whatever we hide in us will change our lives tomorrow. Whatever passion we have in us is what is going to change our lives tomorrow. So if you have a passion inside you, you may not know how to execute it. You may not know how to go about it. But God is a God who sees the heart and the passion inside. So believe that what you are hiding, as long as it is good, it can change your life for tomorrow. And then, of course, we see in Joshua 7, the story of Achan. Achan was hiding forbidden things. I'll just read Joshua 7, chapter 1. It says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accused, accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Sarah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. We can see that Achan in this, he was hiding the forbidden things in his tent. So when you compare these two stories of Rahab and Achan, inside you, you can either harbor a good thing, you can either harbor a secret place, or you can either harbor inside you sin. I pray that God will help us and have mercy on us, that we can harbor a secret place inside us, nothing but a secret place. And I pray that your goal is to always not hide sin, because whatever we do when we are hiding sin, it will always manifest, and it manifests in the things that we do or the things that we say, for our lives is a testimony to that. So coming to the secret place that I am talking to you about, let us just quickly read Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. And it reads, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret place will reward you openly." I'll just briefly read it from a different version as well, just so I can grab the concepts and the words that I want us to meditate upon as we go about today. It says, "But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you." Hallelujah. That is one place where we are being asked to shut the door. And I will share just briefly the second verse, and then we can go into what I want to share. The second story is in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 4. This is about the widow. The widow. It says, "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." This is the story of Elisha and the widow's oil. And as she does not know how to repay the debts she has been left with, she is seeking for a way, or she's seeking for a solution. And there we see she's being told, go into the house and shut the door. So, just two things. When we go into that secret place, when we go into that secret place to meet with our Father in heaven, it says, when you come into the secret place, when you have shut the door, and the other one says, shut the door behind you. And what is a door? The door is the destruction. The destructions that we meet. One of the biggest destructions is our phones. Going into a secret place, holding a phone, and then a message beeps. Before you know it, you're on WhatsApp reading that message and answering to it. One of the destructions is our mind. Going into that secret place to have an encounter with God, and yet you are thinking about what you are going to cook for dinner. Going to that secret place and going with a heavy heart because somebody has upset you during the course of the day. And I was reading a quote which says, "A distracted Christian is a defeated Christian." Hallelujah. When we pray with our phone around us, there's no way that we will not come into or will not get distracted. And yet God is asking us, when you come into that secret place, shut the door. Because intimacy is something that always happens behind doors. If you are coming to meet, to have a an intimate moment with your God, you need to shut the door. You need to empty your mind. You need to empty your plans. You need to empty everything which is in you and allow Him to have that intimacy with you. I don't think there is anything more important in our lives than just coming and meeting with our Creator. You know, we give time to so many things. We give time to Facebook. We give time to WhatsApp. And yet, in there, we don't find anything but just those pleasures that do not last for long. But coming into that secret place without any distraction allows us to have that intimacy that we are longing for. We come and say, God, have your way. God, may your presence, may I abide in your presence. How do we abide in the presence? By not having distractions, by giving him all that moment. It is you and I, Jesus, you and I, God. Today I come into your place, my Father, empty. I empty my head. I empty my heart. I just want you and me. We don't do our private things in public. If we take a husband and a wife, we don't go in front of our children. We go behind the doors because it is your intimate time. So God is asking us. He wants to have an intimate time with us. And the only way we can do it is by shutting the door, by removing all those distractions. And how can we do that? Because sometimes, of course, we can say, shut the door. How do we shut the door? How do we come into that secret place, ensuring that we are empty so that God can fill us with his presence, so that God can fill us with his love? We can leave our phones behind. You know, if you are someone, for example, who cannot resist touching that phone, leave it in another room. You know, if you are somebody who, you know, the door is how busy you are always busy. You are busy from morning to evening, you are busy. I used to do that a lot. I'm so busy. Oh God, forgive me today. I've not prayed because I'm busy. No. That is not an excuse. When we recite the word in Thessalonians, which says, pray without ceasing, you can make sure that you take prayer to every arena of your life. At work, you can pray. How do you pray? You are declaring what God has already said. Father God, as I arrive in this workplace today, I pray that you will take over. Speak to God throughout the day. We have our husbands, we have our lovers, we have our children, and yet we cannot spend a day without texting each other when we are away from God. So why can we not do that with our most important lover, our God, the God who loves us to the point where he gave his only begotten son? Some of us, we think we love our children so much, and yet we cannot sacrifice them. If we cannot spend a moment without checking on our loved ones during the day, hello, how is your day going? Hi, how are you? Hi, just to say I love you. Let us do the same with God. Let us endeavor to have a secret moment, an intimate moment. Speak to God. Oh, hello, Jesus. Hello, God. Thank you for my day so far. I just want to say that I love you. just as we do it for our loved ones, because He is the greatest rewarder of our lives. And as I mentioned, it is not how long you pray for. Because sometimes, you know, I have invited even my siblings, my sisters, and I say, come to the altar 5 to 7. And they say, oh, you pray for too long. Oh, you take too long. And I just want to encourage you that prayer does not take time. It saves time, rather. Because sometimes if you come in the presence of God and you have that intimate moment and you talk to God and you speak to Him and He speaks to you, you listen to Him and He listens to you, you will save time. You will save time, people of God. You will save time. Because you are able to do more with prayer with God than you are able to do when you are busy. Because sometimes we are busy doing nothing. Sometimes we are busy running after the things that God did not even send us to do. So when you pray to God, He will show you the way. He will show you the path. Today you might have decided, I'm going to do shopping. After that, I'm going to visit a friend. After that, I'm going to do that. And yet you can spend 5 minutes in prayer and God will speak to you and say, Fran, today I want you to go and speak life into this sick person. Or Pastor Ruben, today I want you to just take 2 minutes and call somebody who is feeling lonely or who is feeling depressed today. And you have saved time, yet people may think we have wasted our time. I pray this morning that God will have mercy on us, that our spiritual senses will be activated. Because unless our spiritual senses are activated, we will reason like the people on this earth. We will reason with our flesh rather than our spiritual eyes and spiritual senses. Because when your spiritual senses are activated, you know that prayer doesn't take time, but saves time. Because whilst you are chasing the things that perish, God is sending you to the things that are everlasting. Amen. And when you close those doors behind you, you may think that you have closed a door, but God is opening a window in heaven. Hallelujah. When you close that door behind you, because you have left everything behind you, as you are entering that secret place, God is opening. He is giving you an insight into the heavens. So believe me, speak to yourself as I speak to myself. There is an intimate time which we cannot buy outside, which we cannot encounter outside, unless we are in that secret place. And the second part I just want to pick from this verse again, it says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Hallelujah. So we are going to the secret place to pray to the Father who is in the secret place. So when you are coming to that secret place, when you are coming to that intimate time, you are not going to look for God. You are not going to look for your Father, because the Bible says He is in the secret place. He is already there. He dwells in that secret place. He is in that secret place. So I beseech you, my brothers and sisters, that let us not pray prayers that will not be answered. Let us not pray prayers as, you know, prayers of the unbelievers, people who think they are seeking, they are looking for God. And yet the Bible is telling us He is in the secret place. So don't go looking for him. Go there to be with him. When you go to a place where someone is, you don't go to look for them because you know they are there. When you get there, you are there to be with them. So when you come to that secret place, come there to be with God. He is already in that secret place. He lives in the secret place. He lives there. So next time, if I say, oh, I'm going to be with God, please correct me, because God is in that secret place. He is there. And the word of God is not, you know, it doesn't lie. In Exodus 24, verse 12, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. He said, come up on the mountain and be there. That was the secret place. So God is saying, come and be with me, not look for me. So as we go there, let us go there to be with him. And the fact that he is calling us to come and be with him, it means, and it's clear that God loves our presence. He loves our presence. You know, I think we think that we love his presence more. No, God loves our presence. He enjoys it more than what we enjoy him. You know, he is there. When we are not in the secret place, when we don't talk, he misses us. So when we come to God, let us come because we are coming to have a time, an intimate moment with him. Today, God, I have come to sit with you. Even when you don't have anything to say, sometimes we are overwhelmed. You know, God is a God of mercy. He understands. He knows. He lived every part that we lived. He was, you know, persecuted. He was rejected. Sometimes we feel pain and we don't have anything to say. So when you come in that presence, just sit there. God, I have come to be with you. Speak to me. Because he enjoys your company. He enjoys you being there. So you will never go empty-handed. A time spent in the presence of God, a time spent in the secret place, is a time multiplied out there. Because whatever we are doing and what we have, why we are, you know, we have given our lives to God is because we say, God, use us. And we want him to use us according to his will. So in everything that we are doing, we want to walk in his will. And in order to walk in his will, we need to hear from him. And my final point now is that, like Rahab and Achan, who the stories we saw first, God will always reward you publicly, what you do privately. Behind every successful man, you know, this is why we must learn not to envy others. We must learn not to envy what other people have. We don't know how much time someone has spent with God. So when he is rewarding you for what you have done, you know, when God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When God is rewarding you, his rewards are not private. They are public, because the glory must be returned unto him. When you walk out there and you are shining, when you walk out there and the glory of God is upon you, everyone must
see that the hand of God has blessed you. And so when you are in that private, that secret place, God will always reward you publicly. Rahab hid the spies. Little did she know that she was harboring. You know, Jesus, who was yet to come after generations and generations. But that was a reward that was done publicly. And to this day, we are in this secret place right now because of something that she did privately in her heart. So my dear brothers and sisters, this morning, I beseech you, when we are reading this Bible, when we are reading this word is life. You know, we don't play with life. We want to understand it. We want to meditate upon it. We want to walk in it, to perceive it. So quite often, I used to feel or think that, you know, go to the secret place and shut the door. I thought I just need to go in my room and shut the door. No, let us use our spiritual understanding and know that this secret place are the distractions. You know, what are those things that are distracting you? Sometimes we are so angry with our children or angry with something that we even failed to pray because we are angry. Sometimes, you know, we didn't get what we wanted, and so we are so upset. Sometimes we are so heavy burdened because we are carrying somebody's load. My husband has shouted at me. My husband he's told me his story. So today I am carrying a load which is so heavy. And because of that, I can't even pray. And yet the Bible is saying, come to me. God is not asking us to be God. He has already done it for us. All he is saying is, come to me. Come and be with me. Come and have that intimate moment with me. Give me that moment. Let me speak to you. Let me enjoy you. I created you. I want to spend time with you, Fran. I want to spend time with you, Pastor Ruben. Just give him that moment and let his reward be public to everyone. Let the dimension of glory shine upon you. The dimensions we talked about yesterday, his omnipresence. The omnipresence that goes with you everywhere you are. That when others are crying, sometimes you are laughing and people are thinking you are crazy. But you are not crazy because you know his omnipresence. You know he is there with you. In times of trouble, he is there. In times of happiness, he is there. In times of doubt, he is there. God with us, God Emmanuel, God who is with us in every place that we are. Those are the rewards that we are going to get. There is no greater reward. Material things come to an end, but there is no greater reward than that Shekinah, that dwelling in his presence. Because when we have, you know, when we are walking in that presence, the presence that, you know, we need to literally charge ourselves. We are like cell phones. We run out of battery. You come back in that presence. You feel rejuvenated. You feel like you've been, you know, he has replenished all the stores. You go out again. There you are. You are shining. There you are. You are in, you know, you are in rest. You are on in a Sabbath. You know, everyone is running around you. But because you have already gone to God, you have already prayed, you have already saved your time. You don't need to run up and down. You don't need to go to town and then go to shopping and go to this, because God has already ordained your day. He has already spoken to you. So I pray this morning and I thank God for this opportunity that he has given us to share his word. Let us go to the secret place. For once, not to look for him, to be with him. let us spend the remaining 30 minutes in his presence.
Amen.
Saying, God, we have come to be with you today. We have poured our problems to you, Jehovah God, but this time we want to listen to you. He is in the secret place. The Spirit of God is omnipresent. And I pray that he may descend upon each and every one of you today, that he will speak to you. I pray that we will have testimonies tomorrow. Somebody saying, as I was in that secret place today, I felt his intimacy. I felt the touch of God. I felt the voice of God. I felt the whisper of God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that the latter will be better than the former.
Amen.
We cannot be on the same level.
Mm.
We go from glory to glory to glory. The glory of God shined upon us when we received Christ in our lives. But now we are at the point where we are saying, send me, O God. We are at a point where we must understand that time spent with God is valuable because it will not allow us to waste time. Have you ever spent a day and asked yourself, what on earth did I do today? Who sent me there? Why did I go there? Now, if we spend that time in that secret place, we will save so much time because we will be walking on his instructions, not being led by the flesh, but by the Spirit of the living God.
Mm.
So, hallelujah. I thank God for this time. And I pray that we are going to continue to dwell in that secret place. Speak to God when you are at work. When you don't know what to do, just give it to him. You know, how I pray, the way we are so automatic on our phones this day, when a message pops, you are there, you read it straight away. How I pray that I can be automatic like that with God. That when I have a question, a query, the first thing I say, God, what do I do? And yet it's not. Sometimes you go to Google. Let God be our everything. Let God be your Google. Because he created everything. There is nothing new under the earth, the heavens. There is nothing new. He knows it all. And yet we go to Google, and yet we trust Google, and yet we trust our sat-navs that, you go into a car, you don't know where you are going, you put a postcode, and you trust that voice which is speaking to us. Let God be that sat-nav in our lives. Let the Spirit of God lead us in everything that we do. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you. I bless your holy name this morning.